to that place in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you would like to have your blue bulletin open at the middle page, there's a few verses there outside 1 Corinthians 13 that we'll be using this morning. We're coming to the end of our series on the home, our home. And so I've entitled these last three or four messages, The Last Word, What is Love? Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your precious, wonderful, living, vital word today, that you would open out the truth to us. Lord, it's easy to know these truths perhaps, but Lord, it's hard to live them. We pray that we would take on board the desire to love the way that we should love and to love one another in this church and in our homes in particular. We pray for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Chris recently celebrated her 16th birthday, but she did not have a birthday party. Her mother gave her a present, but said she didn't want a bunch of teens in the home. Chris's dad called from work, but he was too busy to be able to get away. Sherry, her younger sister, who is 12, doesn't like her family and tries to be away from home as much as possible. Cindy, her older sister, who is now 23, doesn't want to be celebrating birthdays. For the last 3 years, she's gone through a terrible marriage of mate beating. And Cindy recently divorced her husband and is now trying to put her life back together. The members of Chris's family all claim to be Christians. On any given Sunday morning, two or three of them might be at church, but they normally come in different cars and they don't sit together. Christ is never mentioned in the home, and he isn't very important in the daily lives of the people in that particular family. Chris belongs to a family where everybody sleeps in the same house, but where each person largely lives an independent life. The family never eats together, even at Christmas, and it's rare to find all five family members in the home at the one time. This family, however, is not as splintered as it looks. Chris's mother holds it all together. Her strong, opinionated personality is very difficult to resist, and it might explain why Chris's dad is not home all that much. She has a great ability to manipulate family members, often making them feel guilty and dependent on her approval. Chris looks forward to the time when she will finally be able to leave home. Those people who know the family wonder if the girls will ever be able to break away from their mother. The family members all seem to need each other, but they get on best by avoiding each other and just trying to please mum. Well, I guess that all of us could identify with at least some elements of that family. A cake without icing is pretty bland, and a family without love is worse than bland. It's pretty painful. And Chris's home was pretty painful, a place to sleep and to leave. The icing on the cake in one sense, and the absolutely necessary foundation in the other sense for the home, is love. Some weeks ago we looked at the different types of love, and amongst them was agape love. And by agape love, I mean that selfless love, that sacrificial love we could call Christian love. But today we need to come back to it. Our homes too easily have aspects of Chris's home. There just isn't Christ in our homes always the way there should be. I guess that is offensive to some. I can hear some saying, of course our home is a loving home. But would everyone in your home say that if I surveyed them? Even in Christian homes where Christ's love is substantially present, we daily need to come back to Christ and ask his help that we might love one another in a way that is like him. And the verses that describe the actions of love more clearly than any other part in the scripture is this passage here in 1 Corinthians 13. Though these verses are well known, they are not well lived. And they need constant review. Though I have mentioned these verses in many sermons, we have never had a detailed, consistent look at them, a settled look at them. They are beautiful scriptures. And when you see this lived out in people's lives, it makes them beautiful people, reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just about the everything the world does and calls love is the absolute opposite of what the scripture talks about in regard to love. Now, when it comes to Christian love, the men are to lead in their homes. The men are to be loving husbands. The men are to be loving fathers. And they're to be loving servants of the Lord Jesus. God bless you this Father's Day. And may you be wholly God's man, God's servant to those around you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 to 8 give 16 actions of love. Today we're just going to look at the first four. The first way to love is patience. Love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 says, love suffers long. Other translations say, love is patient. That is, in the face of mistreatment or neglect, love just continues. Christian love just continues to love. Paul was demonstrating Christian love in his patience with the Corinthian church. They were a problem church to Paul, but he continued to love them. You may well know that the Corinthian church was a gifted church in terms of spiritual gifts, but very immature in terms of their spiritual growth. Carnal is the word that Paul uses, fleshy and worldly. Everyone was self-interested, showy, proud, impatient, envious of what others had in terms of their gifts, and so on. Their behavior in using their spiritual gifts was the actual opposite of love, and Paul had to teach the Corinthian believers what love was, what love is. This is not too uncommon. We all naturally know what lust is, but we need to supernaturally know what love is. First, love keeps loving irrespective of the way it is treated. Love is patient, forbearing, long-suffering. Love does not retaliate. Love is patient because love forgives. Love prays for change. It prays for growth in the brother or sister that is in that family rather than lashing out. Now, I'm not saying in saying that we continue to be patient, that I'm not saying to parents that we shouldn't discipline. I'm saying that all spankings should be done in love and prayer. They should not be done in impatience. Children are to be patient with each other, and couples are to love each other with all patience. One young lady writes, it happens every time. You're teaching Sunday school on Sunday morning on how to love each other, and it goes fine during the week until your younger sister wears your new green jumper without asking. And before you can think, you've committed the very transgression you've been teaching against. Another verse adds, another young lady adds, when I was in year 8, I had to make a speech. My topic was, together we will love one another. My mum loves to tell the story of what happened when my younger sister interrupted me one time too many. While I was practicing in front of the mirror, she just kept interrupting and I screamed at her and called her names. When she finally left the room crying, I continued on in my speech where I'd left off. Love is patient. Love is kind. Oh dear. Stephen, the martyr Stephen, showed much patient love in his martyrdom, saying in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And of course, God is the source of all love, such that Jesus Christ himself was the example to Stephen when he said in Luke 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Robert Ingersoll, at least to some, was a well-known atheist in the last century. And in the middle of his lectures against God, he would say, I'm going to give God 5 minutes to strike me down dead for the things that I've said. He'd time out the 5 minutes. And then he would make the point, there is no God because God didn't strike me down. And Theodore Parker said of Ingersoll's claim, and did the gentleman think he could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? John MacArthur tells this story. One of Abraham Lincoln's earliest political enemies was Edwin Stanton. He called Lincoln a low, cunning clown, the original gorilla. And it was ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could go to Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln never responded to the slander. But when, as president, he needed a Secretary of War, to the amazement of his friends, he chose Stanton. Why? Because he is the best man, Lincoln explained. Years later, as Lincoln's body lay in state, Stanton looked at the coffin and said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." His animosity was finally broken by Lincoln's long-suffering, non-retaliatory spirit. Patient love won out. Tough test, isn't it? If we are impatient, we do not have God's love, at least at that point. Love is patient. The way to love is with patience. How is it in your home? How patient are you with each other? Can you see what damage impatience does? Can you see where that impatience will lead? It would be terrible to have a home like Chris's home where all live under the same roof but don't actually like each other, wouldn't it? Impatience will rip relationships apart. The patience of love will heal relationships. Children, are you patient with your parents? Perhaps we should say teenagers, are you patient with your parents? Parents, are you patient with your children and with each other? I remember times when I have lost patience, much to my embarrassment. And let me say, it wasn't love. Praise God, He forgives and we can start again. Let's grow in love by being patient. The second way to love is kindness. Love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 says, and is kind. Love is kind. Every translation I looked at said, love is kind. Apparently, there's no other way to say it in the English language. I don't know how you say it in Romanian, Elijah, but there's no other way to say it in English than love is kind. It is always kind. If someone is mean to you, you respond by being kind. Kind is thoughtful, helpful, gracious, considerate, serving. Patience withholds wrong action. It withholds retaliation. But kindness is an active good, positive goodness to the other person. Love is kind. It is generous. It seeks the best, wants the best for the other person. It thinks what is needed and then acts on it. Love is kind. A tradesman was working next door, and because that next door neighbour wasn't home, Nolly took in a drink to the tradesman. He was stunned by that kindness. To us it just seemed normal, almost expected. But it seems like many tradesmen don't expect kindness these days. Well, people so often aren't kind. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3 says, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. Well, the Greek word translated gracious in that verse is exactly the same word translated kind in 1 Corinthians 13. God is kind. Love is kind because God is love. God was kind in saving us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. But at the beginning of those verses, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. It's no test for kindness if we're kind to those who are kind to us. But it is a test for kindness when we're kind to our enemies. The Lord Jesus taught, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He, that is God in heaven, is kind to the unthankful and evil. We are to be kind as God is kind, and God is kind always. In a discussion about marriage, one person said, the key to a good marriage is two becoming one. Someone said, yeah, but which one? Is it possible to be one without sacrificing our individuality? Yes, if we are kind. A boy with a badly disfigured face was the target of many cruel comments. One day he said to his mother, I hate people. Realizing he'd become despondent, she took him to a canyon and told him to yell, maybe it was like Echo Point, and told him to yell out, I hate you! And of course it came back, I hate you. And then she said, now yell out, I love you! And it came back, I love you. She made the point to her son that we usually receive from people what we send out first. So I choose to be kind. What about you? Henry Bosch says, when I was a young boy, I knew my father was extremely fond of black walnuts. Now, black walnuts is a native fruit of North America. We don't often get them, he said, but I found one day on the ground and I was delighted. I thought to take it home and get my mother to open it for me, but then I thought about my dad and how he really liked them, so I decided to keep it for him. When he came home that evening, I gave him the walnut and said, here, Papa, I've been saving it all day just for you. I thought it was kind of strange that he didn't crack it open and eat it immediately. But I found out 30 years later, after he had died, I found in a special place in his desk. Mother told me he considered it such a special token of my love and kindness to him that he kept it always. Acts of kindness, even little acts of kindness, are deeply appreciated by the people that we are kind to. I had fought for Nolene's life throughout the night in a stinking African hospital where none of the staff cared. In the morning, an Irish missionary, knowing we were Aussies, offered me a Vegemite sandwich. Do you know how much that meant to me? It was kind. Some time ago, there was a trend to perform random acts of kindness, and many people were blessed through these acts of kindness. Would you be surprised if I told you that God doesn't want us to do random acts of kindness? He doesn't. He wants us to be kind always, for He is kind always. Are you mean-spirited? Are people in your home mean to you? What difference would consistent kindness make in your home? Love is kind. It is patient and it is kind. Miss either of those and you've missed love. The way to love is to be kind. The third way to love is, well, I'm going to call it contentment. Love is contented. Love is contented. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 says this. Love does not envy. Love does not envy. All the translations say either love never envies or love is not jealous. There are eight love is not or love does not in this passage. And this is the first. It says love does not envy. What Paul is saying is where there is envy, there is not love. You cannot have love and envy together. Jealousy and love cannot coexist. I'll put each of the negatives as we go through them over the weeks ahead. I'll put each of the negatives as a positive to say what love is. Now, if you know that love does not envy, how would you say that in a positive way? I came up with love is contented. It does not envy. No matter what other people achieve, look like, have, no matter what accolades they have, I am content with what God has given me. You see, anyone who loves is concerned for the other person. Anyone who envies is concerned for self. We could also say love rejoices in the blessings received by others. We love them. We want the best for them. And when we see them receive a blessing, we're not only content in ourselves, but we rejoice for them. Love is content. Love rejoices in the blessings received by others. Love does not envy, like Joseph's brothers envied him. Acts 7 and verse 9, and the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Now, all these ways to love are actions. They're not so much descriptions, definition of love, but they're actions, the way that love is to be lived. Contentment, however, is a state more than an action, perhaps. So that is why I believe Paul, that is the Holy Spirit writing through Paul, chooses the words love does not envy, because that's an action. And this is a list of actions. A state of contentment will not act in envy. I can understand how easily the Corinthians might have been envying one another with their gifts. And Joseph's brothers show how easily envy can be in a family. You've seen that little green monster, or that big green monster, in your home too, haven't you? I've seen toys lie idle until one child wants it. Then everyone wants it and World War III breaks out. Envy doesn't necessarily work on the value of the object or the worth of the success. When we lived in Africa, I've seen African kids fighting over a stick. Envy wants what others have. Contentedness is happy with what God has given me. Everyone wants what others have. Love does not envy. The world revels in envy. An advertisement this week said that Tigers fans should buy Tigers t-shirts so that they would be the envy of all their friends. Well, they've got to be kidding. Number one, I don't want envy. Number two, I don't want to make others envious of me. And number three, buying a Tigers t-shirt is not going to do it. I want Christ's love, for there is no other way to be content. I guess no one actually chooses envy. It just happens because they have not chosen Christ's love. Please choose to love the members of your extended family with the sacrificial love of Christ. Be content with such things as you have. And rejoice when others have things that you don't. You will rejoice with them if you love them. The fourth way to love is in quietness. Love is quiet. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 toward the end says, love does not parade itself. Love does not parade itself. Other translations say, love does not brag, or love does not boast. That is, love does not put itself forward. Yeah, I know the world does. It pushes itself in your face all the time, tries to push you into its mold. I would say, love is not loud. Love is quiet. Love is quiet. It doesn't show off. When the loving person is himself successful, he doesn't boast about it. Love does not parade its accomplishments. Bragging is the other side of jealousy. Jealousy is wanting what someone else has. Bragging is trying to make them want what you have. Bragging is focusing on self, what I have. Envy is focusing on other, is really focusing on self too, what I don't have. It is ironic that as much as most of us dislike others bragging, we tend to do it so often ourselves. Charles Trumbull once vowed, God, if you will give me the strength, every time I have the opportunity to introduce the topic of conversation, it will be Jesus Christ. He had only one subject that was important to him. And if you're talking about the Lord Jesus, there's no room to brag. C.S. Lewis called bragging the utmost evil. It is the epitome of pride, which is the root of all sins. Bragging puts ourselves first. Everyone else, including God, must therefore be of less importance to us. It is impossible to build ourselves up without implying that others are down there somewhere. Isn't it ironic that Jesus, who had everything to boast about, never did, and we who have so little to boast about so often do? Yeah, the world pushes itself forward, but love doesn't do that. The flesh is loud. Love is quiet. Peter talks about that gentle and quiet spirit that is so valuable to God, doesn't he? You know, as I discuss this, I think of a time when we're on an international flight. Actually, I'd left Nolan and the kids in Guernsey and I was flying back to Africa. I was on an international flight and there was this one lady who stood out. Many rows separated us, but everyone on the plane knew she was there. She was loud. She wanted to be the center of attention. She talked about herself. She was also very rude and very crude, yeah, loud. And she reminds me of Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said to him, and so on. That is not love. Another time I went to meet Pastor Chauvin, one of the missionaries we support, at the airport, and a plane load of gays had just come in from some convention. They were just the same, loud, in your face, drawing attention to themselves. What they were saying and the way they said it was to draw attention to themselves. What they wore was to attract attention to themselves. That is not love. It was nauseating. People who live in sinful lifestyles do not know about love, though they talk about it often. They may be looking for love, but they are looking in the wrong places. They will never find it that way. Real love is quiet. It never draws attention to itself. Do you have someone in your home who likes to brag? If so, they do not understand God's love. They certainly are not being loving, for love does not parade itself. Jesus Christ stated the truth about himself, but he never bragged. He was patient. He was kind. And it's even ridiculous to think of the Lord Jesus ever being envious or bragging, isn't it? For Christ is love. Love is the foundation for a good home, and love is the foundation for a good church. Love is the icing that makes life enjoyable and palatable in both the home and the church. Love is found in Jesus Christ, and the ultimate act that demonstrated Christ's love was his death on the cross for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." An inner city mission worker was longing to show Christ's love, but there was one particular lady that she really struggled with. She was unkempt, she was dirty, she smelt. One day, the sickly woman to whom she'd been witnessing was sentenced to jail. When the Christian worker saw her sobbing bitterly, then she started to feel some compassion for her. And she went, sat beside her, put her arm around her, and that lady had never experienced love like that. She was deeply moved, and later she did accept Christ as her Savior. After being released from prison, the woman was nursed back to health by the missions worker. Not only had a needy sinner been rescued, but a Christian had been brought into a deeper experience of Christ-like love. Christ doesn't love us because we're lovely. He loves us despite what we are. Is there someone in your family that you find hard to love? May you love them with Christ's sacrificial love. Dads, may God bless you with his own selfless love. May you be a model to your family of what Christ's love is like. May your home be a harbor of refuge in a loveless world. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we only need these descriptions, and we see we just don't reach the standard. Oh, but Lord Jesus, how we long to be like you, to know you, and the power of your resurrection, and the fellowship of your sufferings, being made conformable even unto your death. O Lord, we long in all of our depths of our being to be able to pour out your love to those around us. And yes, Lord, we look for love in return. But Lord, if that is not returned, we know that we can find that love from you. And as we receive from you, Lord, we're able to continue to give it out to others. For Lord, we know that to love like this is not natural, it is supernatural. May glory be given to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Though we come to the Lord's table often, and though we meditate on God's love often as we come to this table, can we ever really grasp it? Can we ever really